Well, this is John McEwen again on the Americana Music Show. Today, I've got, he's a longtime friend and a musician, David Hoffner. Hey, David, how you doing?
Hey, how are you, John? Good to hear you.
You know, one of the things I think people are interested in with records is what happens when people are recording, because various people from, any of these artists, from Aaron Neville to Don Edwards, the Western singer, they don't make all those notes themselves. They have people playing on them. And you sometimes have come in and played with, as a recording musician, just going to people's sessions. Who are some of the people you've added to?
Well, I've had a wide variety of experiences doing that. Everybody from Emmy Lou Harris or Willie Nelson, some country artists, Randy Travis. And then I'll get a call. I remember one day I went from a Kathy Lee Gifford lullaby session in the morning to a rock and roll session where I was playing organ in the afternoon. It was really hard to make that switch within an hour. But it was also a lot of fun. So I've done things like arrange strings or play strings with keyboards on a very pretty record, and then be in the studio with someone like Lynyrd Skynyrd, who are rocking out at a really, really high volume.
What did you do with Lynyrd Skynyrd?
I did organ and strings for a couple of songs. It was about 9 or 10 years ago. It was a lot of fun.
Well, your website, davidhoffner.com, H-O-F-F-N-E-R,
yeah, that's because some of the credits were David. And then when you work on a film or a TV show, they always want to put your formal name in the credits. So I thought people would, if they were looking for me by my credits, it would be easier to find me that way.
Well, your credits are wide because you play banjo, guitar, and bass, but your main instruments are the keyboards and various kinds of keyboards, and people don't understand what that is. And what is it?
Well, of course, it starts with the piano, and when I was in high school, I also learned to play the pipe organ. That was my job through high school and college, was I was an organist at a big church. And pipe organ is sort of an old-fashioned acoustic synthesizer. You can get all kinds of tones with variations and combinations of the organ stops. And so it naturally led into synthesizers for me when the Moog synthesizer and the Arp synthesizers became popular in the 70s. I gravitated towards those. And then when sampling came in later in the late 80s, when we actually began recording sounds and triggering those from the keys of a keyboard, that was even more fun for me because that was more acoustic. And I've always loved acoustic instruments and acoustic music more than the electronic version. So to then be able to emulate orchestral sounds and stringed instruments that I didn't play opened up a whole new world.
Well, what's funny about a guy like you, who to me is one of those people that's behind the curtain, the wizard behind the curtain, that adds sounds to people's music that often the audience isn't even aware of that, but you've played with people from Porter Wagoner to Willie Nelson to Susie Boggess to Alabama. What is the biggest hit song that you can go when you're driving down the road, go, oh, I'm on that?
I've played on 3 number one country hits. The first one with our old friend Michael Martin Murphy when I was playing in Michael's band and recording with him, and I played on his hit Long Line of Love, and that was the first number one record that I played on. Then I played on one with Steve Warner and Anita Cochran. It was called What If I Said. And then just about 2 years ago, I was on a number one record with a Canadian band called Emerson Drive. They had a big hit called Moments. It was one of the bigger songs in country music that year, and I arranged and played the strings on that song.
Well, strings, when you say strings, that means string sounds coming out of your keyboard.
Sometimes I get called sometimes just to reproduce strings. Sometimes they want me to write the arrangements and conduct real strings, and a lot of times it's a combination of both. I'll write the string arrangement and with my string sounds with the computer so that the producer and the artist can hear that, and then once they like the arrangement, then we'll bring in some real string players, maybe a 7 or 8-piece section of violins and violas and a cello, and record them and mix that with the keyboard sounds to give it a little more life.
Back to the string thing, when you conduct strings, is it more fun than just sitting there playing them, the parts on the keyboard?
It is. It's always, to me, it's always more fun when you're making music with other people. One of the things that I don't like about what I do is that I often am working by myself, and I miss the days of being in the studio with seven or eight other musicians or with a group of string players. There's a lot of joking around and camaraderie, and everybody's concentrating on doing their best to make the project the best they can make it, and that's a lot of fun. There's always a sense of community, and with technology going the way it has gone, we're working more and more in isolated studios, and there's a lot of records that I have performed with other musicians, sometimes many times, and I still haven't met some of these other musicians. There's drummers and bass players who I've played with dozens of times, and we've never met.
So people understand that means that a producer will bring you a tape that is 95% done, but they need your strings or your piano or the hammered dulcimer that you also play, and you'll just do your part at your home studio. This is the great American dream, I believe. I mean, you have such a nice family. Your daughter Emily is off to college, and you Skype her occasionally, and your wife is working at Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt Hospital, yeah.
And what does she do?
She's the director of emergency preparedness there. So she has to anticipate and plan for all the disasters that could befall Nashville. She works with the police department and Department of Homeland Security and the Secret Service and everybody else in planning how to respond to disasters like earthquakes. And
or the flood you have.
Or the flood we had last May, that's right.
Yeah, and your son?
My son is at Virginia Tech, and he is a finance major, so he wants to learn how to help people manage their money. So I told him, well, he could start with all my musician friends.
And the reason I bring this up is often people perceive musicians just to be, all I do is play. And a lot of musicians are just focused on music and don't keep track of, like you say, where their income is coming or going. And mm-hmm. David has the wonderful family situation, a studio in his home. He also goes out and records with people in various studios. I mean, you've worked on recordings and with people such as Beth Nielsen Chapman and the Dallas Symphony and Emerson Drive, Crystal Gayle, Kathy Lee Gifford. What was Kathy Lee Gifford's job?
Kathy Lee was recording a lullaby album. And I was brought in to program and arrange all the basic tracks. We didn't go in with a band. They had me program all the tracks with a computer and keyboards so that we could go to New York and record with her and still have the flexibility of changing tempos and changing keys. And once we got her vocals recorded, we brought everything back here to Nashville and then brought outside musicians in to finish it up. And then I ended up doing four more records with her that same summer, which were all children's records. And it was a lot of fun and a lot of work, and Kathy Lee was just a joy to work with. It was like having a sister just instantly. She, she's a favorite target for people to make fun of, but she actually is a very nice person and very down-to-earth and very fun to work with.
Well, I bet she enjoyed working with you. Did you work directly with Michael McDonald, or was that an overdub situation?
Well, it was an overdub situation, but it was at his studio here in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee, which is out in the country. And I spent a day with him adding things to a record that was almost finished. It was his Christmas record. And I had a great time, and it was great music and a lot of fun to meet him and work with him for a day or two.
How cool. And did you trade piano licks?
He didn't play my keyboard. There was his producer for that album was also a keyboard player, so I guess there were three keyboard players in the room, which is probably too many.
Well, out of all these, as people will find if they go to davidhoffner.com to see his musician credits, a broad range of artists that have called on you, and I imagine if you want to call on you to record, that people can go to your website and figure out how to find this guy that's behind the curtain. Is that true?
Yes, there's a contact link.
In other words, you love to record and you're available.
That's right.
Okay, we got that out of the way. There's the plug. But out of all these people that you've worked with, in my estimation, it would be, I think it would be the Tuvan Throat Singers that must have been the strangest. What was that about?
That started as a personal adventure. I had an interest in Tuvan music.
And what is that?
People who don't know who the Tuvans are, Tuva is a country in the center of Asia. It's actually now part of the Russian Republic, and it is very remote. It's in between Outer Mongolia and Siberia. And the people there live a nomadic lifestyle. They're basically sheep herders, cattle herders, yak, reindeer, anything else they can raise out there on the Russian steppe. And they sing a version of harmonic singing that where each singer can produce three or four notes at the same time. And I love their music, and I love the sound of their voices. And one thing led to another, and I ended up producing an album on one of the most famous Tuvan throat singers. His name is Kongorol Ondar. And we had a great time. We brought in special guests. We had Randy Scruggs. We had Bela Fleck. Willie Nelson came in and sang on one of the songs. And it was just a lot of fun and a great project.
What's the name of that Tuvan album?
It's called Back to the Future.
Back to the Future?
Right.
And that's available on Warner Brothers Records?
That's right. And the artist's name is Ondar, O-N-D-A-R.
David, you've worked with so many people. I've always felt it was a privilege to me to be able to make music with you. And I think people should investigate you, because one of the things I try to expose people to is, who are these people that are playing the notes behind some of the famous names? And we wouldn't want to hear these singers a cappella for very long. So I've always felt a guy like you is important to that aspect. And you'll hear David Hofner's music without even knowing it. And he'll hear it sometimes without even knowing it. Because you might be watching television anywhere in the world, and you've made about 10 albums for this music company that makes a library that sends it out to radio and TV stations to be able to cut music into. Is it 10 albums you've made?
That's right.
What happens with that music?
Well, these records, these CDs, are used by production companies all over the world. And a lot of times there isn't the money or the time to hire a composer and come up with a budget and custom score music for, say, a television commercial or even some TV shows. For instance, all the soap operas for years have used library music because they can produce the shows so much more quickly if they just have a library of music to draw from. So these pieces get used, and then the users call and license the music for, depending on what the use is, they'll say, this is for a car commercial in Kansas City, and the company will quote them a price, and they'll pay the price and use the music. Other times, it might end up in a show like Saturday Night Live behind one of the skits. It might end up in a Tylenol commercial. Sometimes I've had songs that were theme songs for a show in Australia where I never even saw the show, but I found out because I got a royalty check.
I think one of the proudest projects I've worked on was with you, David Hofner. And you can find out about him at davidhofner.com, was when we both got an Emmy nomination for a score we did for National Geographic Society. And what were your feelings about that?
Well, that's also one of my proudest accomplishments and one of my favorite projects. I was so pleased to be included by you. That was a project that came your way, and I think you decided that it would be a good partnership for us, and I think it was the perfect partnership because it required both acoustic instruments, which is your specialty, and it also required some orchestral type score, which was sort of what I was doing. And between the two of us, we had just enough tricks up our sleeves to cover all the music they needed. It was a very interesting project because it was on a subject that was of interest to me, which is the people in Alaska who live far away from other neighbors out in the bush country.
Yeah, it was called Braving Alaska, about four different families with four completely different lifestyles. but they were related. And we got to go to the Emmys. We didn't win the Emmy, but we got the nomination, and that was a win in itself.
It was quite a win, and my wife got to go with us and dress up, and we sat at a table next to Dan Rather and all the other news and documentary people. It was really a lot of fun.
Well, David, you've had quite a great, highly respectable career over these years you've been doing it. What do you want to do next or in the future continuing? Where do you see it going somewhere? Or
I'd just like to stay open to whatever comes up that is interesting. I'd like to be able to continue to just follow my interests. And I am someone who is always, when I look back, it seems like every 10 years I'm doing a slightly different job than I was doing a decade before, and I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to realize that, oh, I'm not really doing the same job I started out doing. It's kind of morphed over the years and is always changing, and I just hope that I can continue to have those opportunities and be open to the changes as they happen and keep looking for interesting challenges.
Well, I think it would be a pretty safe bet to say to the people listening to David Hoffner talking about his musical contributions over the years, it would be a pretty safe bet that if you went to his website, you'd realize, oh, I have heard some of his music. I just didn't know it. I suggest you go find out. Thanks, David.
Well, thank you, John.
And what are you working on right now?
Just finished mixing a children's album. A fellow that I've done about 9 or 10 CDs with, his name is Brent Holmes, and he has a company called Fun Tunes for Kids. And his CDs and DVDs are in gift shops all over the country. They're in all the national park gift shops, and they're in all the little mom-and-pop gift shops. And he has, a lot of them are animal-oriented. He has fun horse tunes for kids, cow tunes for kids, which, of course, are for sale in the various beach gift shops. And we just finished two albums called Island Tunes for Kids. Some of them teach kind of in a subtle way, adding and subtracting just by the way the lyrics go in the different verses. And it's a lot of fun. He likes to turn out really high-quality records, so he puts up the budget, and we bring in some of the best musicians in Nashville to play on it. And he doesn't believe that it's children's music so you can cut corners. He goes more with the Disney philosophy that you should start kids with the very best so that they'll develop great taste in music.
Well, that's great, David. So keep hitting those keys, and I'll see you down the road sometime, I'm sure.
That sounds great.
We've been talking with David Hoffner, one of those incredible musicians that if you're lucky, you'll have him on your record. This is the Americana Music Show. This is John McEwen.